restrictions on the ivory industry are multiplying in the U.S., causing concern for artists in Alaska. Alaska Native carvers do have a degree of protection under federal law, but non-Native carvers who only work with fossilized ivory are not shielded in the same way. In Skagway, where thousands of cruise visitors stop each summer, there's a small but significant group of ivory carvers and sellers who are worried about the future of their craft. That's the sound of a dental tool, but Bruce Schindler is not a dentist. He's an ivory carver. Schindler hunches over a work table in his sunny Skagway studio. He uses the metal drill-like tool he's adapted for his craft to carve a small piece of fossilized mammoth ivory.
A pair of eyes, kind of unfinished idea. But
the great thing Schindler came to Skagway in 1993 to drive a tour bus. Soon after, he started working with ivory. The mammoth ivory he restores and carves comes from the Dawson City area in the Yukon.
I go up and I'll drive hundreds of miles of dirt roads going from gold mine to gold mine, searching for miners who are willing to sell some of the tusks they find.
The mammoth tusks are unearthed as a byproduct of mining. Schindler says if they aren't purchased and restored, they will start to deteriorate.
Once a frozen tusk is brought to the surface by a miner, it will start to degrade. It'll start to rot. And if you don't take actions to preserve it, in a few years, it'll be completely worthless. And in a few more years, it'll just be dust.
He collects thousands of pounds of fossilized tusks and brings them back to his studio, where he restores them or carves them into smaller pieces. Schindler also works with fossilized walrus tusks.
Carving stations, you can see a number of tusks that are in the various stages of...
Last year, the Obama administration put an almost complete ban on the commercial trade of African elephant ivory in the U.S. But that ban didn't touch the fossil ivories that Schindler and others in Skagway use. Those are still legal. And Alaska natives are permitted to harvest walrus ivory under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. But some states have gone a step further, implementing tougher restrictions that prohibit the trade of nearly all ivory. Schindler's concern is that a similar ban could come to Alaska and devastate the industry here.
It's not just scary, it's kind of apocalyptic in many ways.
Zach Smith is with the Natural Resources Defense Council. It's one of several groups that have lobbied states to put tougher restrictions on ivory. Smith says they're not going after anything protected under federal law. That includes the walrus ivory that Alaska natives are allowed to harvest. But the fossilized ivory is a different story.
NRDC supports the closure of domestic ivory markets focused on elephant ivory and including ivory markets that offer a cover for elephant ivory for the illegal trade in elephant ivory.
Smith says illegal elephant ivory is often presented as a legal product. So prohibiting the trade of other ivories could help cut back on illegal behavior. And some states agree with that logic. For example, California has set a ban that extends to fossilized ivory. Schindler argues it's easy to tell the difference. Those outside laws are already affecting Alaska carvers. Schindler says he's lost about half of his customers, artists who used to purchase tusks from him for their own work. Locally, Schindler says the market is strong, but there is still uncertainty. Kathy Wassman's family owns a shop called Taya River Arts. Wassman wears ivory jewelry that she carved herself. She says sometimes customers question the ethics of what they're purchasing.
I think it's a teaching moment most of the time, like Bruce was saying. Mm-hmm. It's the opportunity to let people know that, hey, what you're looking at is unique mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with endangered species.
Schindler says as carvers, they aren't against most of what ivory bans in other states entail. But
to add Alaskan ivories to this ban is shameful, and it's just misguided.
A resolution was introduced in the Alaska Senate in February that aims at protecting legally acquired walrus, mammoth, and mastodon ivory from current and future laws. Schindler has also been lobbying for local support. The Skagway Assembly recently voted to endorse the resolution in the Senate. Schindler continues to push to protect the legal ivory industry in Alaska, but he is already starting to diversify his business.
Mammoth ivory is still going to stay the center of what I do, but I'm starting to work gold. Because I have access to gold miners, I'm buying gold from them, so I'm starting to work my own gold jewelry. I want a backup.
He says no matter what happens, the Skagway artists will find their way forward.
We will adapt. But it will be a shell of what we have done, and the beauty and the joy in restoring something that just had no life beforehand.
They're worried the momentum against the ivory trade doesn't consider the unique and important role it plays in local economies like Skagway's. In Skagway, I'm Abby Collins.